Chapter 4. I was about to rush out and beg him in the name of the ladies' committees to explain himself, when I heard Rachel say, "Why didn't you go into the library?" He laughed softly. "Because I was told Miss Clack is in there." She laughed. "Clack? In the library?" she replied. "You're right, Godfrey, we're much better here. Bring that chair nearer to me." Carefully, I moved the curtain so I could see. "Well," she went on, "what did you say to them?" "Just what you said to say, dear. They were sad not to see you at the concert." He brought his chair even closer and took her hand. Can words describe how saddened I was by this sight? "Have you forgotten, Godfrey?" she said. "We agreed to be cousins, and nothing more. My heart breaks that agreement, Rachel, every time I see you." "Then don't see me." "No. Am I mad, Rachel, to dream that one day your heart may soften to me?" He put his handkerchief to his eyes. Even she seemed to be moved. "Are you really sure, Godfrey, that you are that fond of me?" "You're my only interest in life. Would you believe that now my charitable duties seem like a nuisance to me? When I see a ladies' committee now, I wish I was at the other end of the earth." "You have made your confession," she said. "Now I think the best thing you can do is leave. I'm not good enough for you, Godfrey. I hate myself, don't you understand?" She burst into tears. "And I don't want your pity. Now go away, will you?" He did something completely unexpected. He knelt at her feet and put both arms round her. "Noble person," he said. She was so surprised or fascinated, I don't know which, that she made absolutely no effort to put his arms back where they should have been. "Yes," he repeated, "you're such a noble person. Please, let me be the one to take care of your poor wounded heart." "Godfrey," she replied, drying her eyes, "you must be mad." "I never spoke more seriously, my dearest. I don't ask for your love straight away. I'll be content simply with your affection and respect. Only time can heal wounds as deep as yours." She looked at him, confusion clouding her face. "Don't tempt me, Godfrey," she said sadly. "I'm unhappy and disturbed enough as it is. Don't tempt me to make things even worse." "One question, Rachel. Do you have anything against me?" I always liked you. I respect and admire you." "How many wives can say that, Rachel? How many respect and admire their husbands? Marry me, dearest. I value your respect and admiration more than the love of any other woman." "Slow down, Godfrey. You're putting something into my head which I never even thought of before."
"I won't get up until you've said yes."
She looked at him curiously. "Do you feel as confidently as you speak? Confident enough to give me time, not to hurry me?"
"My time shall be yours."
"You won't ask me for more than I can give?"
"My angel, all that I ask of you is your hand."
"Take it then." With those words, she accepted him. He pulled her nearer until her face touched his, and she let him... I tried to close my eyes before it happened. I almost screamed in horror. When I opened them again, he was sitting next to her.
"Shall I speak to your mother?" he asked. "Or shall you?"
She seemed to come to her senses. "I don't want my mother to hear from either of us until she's better. Godfrey, go now. Come back this evening."
She got up and looked in my direction.
"Who closed those curtains?" She came towards me, was about to open the curtains when my heart almost stopped. Samuel's voice shouted from downstairs, "Miss Rachel, where are you?" She ran to the door. "Miss Rachel, my lady has fainted."
Moments later, I was alone. I went downstairs unseen and saw Mr. Godfrey hurrying out to fetch the doctor. I found Rachel on her knees by the sofa. One look at my aunt was enough. She was dead. I was so shocked that I didn't remember until a few days later that she hadn't given me my little remembrance.